بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As you all know, as it was introduced by Brother Fleetle, that this is the second lesson of the sixth. Just to recap of what we've done in the first lesson, basically, first of all, we went over a couple of terminologies. As you can see, the Brother Fleetle has given you a copy. If you see the copy at the bottom, lesson two, you will see terminologies that we went over last week and one or two that we had not done last week. So I'll just to recap everything over the terminologies, because some people aren't aware of those terminologies. So it's a good practice that we just recap what we did in the first lesson. Regarding Tanween, which we didn't do last week. Now, Tanween is Fathatain, Qasratain, Dhammatain, meaning two Zabar, two Zain, and two Pesh. Now, as you all, many of you are aware that normally when we were young and we studied in the local masjids, they would normally use Zabar, Zain, Pesh as the normal way of explaining the vowel system. And obviously that is not the Arabic one. The Arabic is Fatha, Kasra, and Dhamma. So we explained last week that Zabar is Fatha, and Zair is Kasra, and Pesh is Dhamma. Now, if you can see that Tanween is two Zabar, two Zair, and two Pesh, which means that there is a double Zabar, or a double Zair, or a double Pesh. Now, to express that in Arabic, they use Fathatain, because whenever you want to express something in dual, you would use Ain at the end. So Fatha, Fathatain. Kasra, Kasratain. Dhamma, Dhammatain. So that is what it's trying to express here. So these three are known as Tanween. One thing they've missed is a letter with Tanween. A letter with Tanween is called Munawwal. A letter with Tanween is called Munawwal. So Tanween is Fathatain, Kasratain, Dhammatain. Or the term that we normally use to is two Zabar, two Zair, and two Pesh. That's what the normal terms that we are normally used to, because that's the way most of us have been taught. But in Arabic, two Zabar is called Fathatain, two Zain is called Kasratain, and two Pesh is called Dhammatain. So a letter with any of these three would be called Munawwal, which has not been mentioned here. The other thing that we mentioned last week, which is also not here, is Haraka. I've just written it down, so if you, anybody, just to make it easy for you. The Fatha, Kasra, and Dhamma, these three in Arabic are called Haraka. They're called Haraka. And a letter with Haraka is called Mutaharrik. It's called Mutaharrik. So as we go along the course, I may use that term. I might say Waw Mutaharrik. Straight away, we should understand it means Waw with a Haraka on it. It could be any Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma, or Zirpesh. So that's another thing. If not in there, maybe if you want to jot it down, you can jot it down so that you can have it all inclusive. So Haraka is Zabar, Zair, Pesh, or in Arabic you call it Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma. So you've got a piece here, as you can see. Just write it there as an addition so that you've got the whole set.
Fatha, Dhamma, and Kasra.
Fatha, Dhamma, and Kasra. Fatha, Zabar, Kasra, Zair, and Dhamma, Pesh. So those three are called Haraka in Arabic. And a letter with any of those is called Mutaharrik. Also, last week we did Sakin. A letter with a Sukun or Jazm is called Sakin, if you can recall that. And examples of Noon, examples, give an example, a Noon Sakin and a Noon Sakin. As you can see, they put a round circle. Okay, sometimes it comes in a full round circle, sometimes it comes in a half circle. So it can come in any way. Basically, it's trying to demonstrate that this is in the state of Sakin. So a letter with a sukun or jazm is called Sakin. Musaddad. Again, we did that last week. A letter with tashdeed on it is called Musaddad. Musaddad is that small little W. The way they express it is with a small little W, and that shows you that this letter is Musaddad. Example again, Noon Musaddad, Meen Musaddad. So I hope we have gone over all the of the terminology that we did last week. If there's any other, if there's any terminology that I've missed out, please tell me now so I can quickly recap that before we start our lesson. I assume. Yeah. So you, I'm sure you've been given all one of these sheets. As you can see, it's half page empty. Just write it on there, the extra that you want to write. Okay. So last week we did out of the 17 makharij, out of the 17 makharij, out of the 17 makharij, we did 12, and. Again, last week we explained what makhraj means. Makhraj means literally means exit. So if you go into a lot of the masajids, especially where they have a lot of Arab brothers, instead of for the place of exit, they'll write makhraj. So it means exit. And here in this in tajweed, it means the place where the word letters exit from, where the places where the letters come out from. So that's what you call makhraj. A makharij is plural, makhraj is singular. Now, in the Arabic language, there's 17 makharij. Okay, obviously there's different opinions within the. You put your hand up?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry. There's within the scholars and the scholars of tajweed. There are many opinions. Now, the opinion that we are using today is the opinion which was mentioned and stated by Imam Khalil, rahimahullah. He says that the makhraj, all the letters are divided into 17 makharij. So we're going on that basis. So on that basis, we've done 12, and we are now about to do number 13. Now, number 13, it says jindil letters. Now, I haven't found any word called gingival. The word I found is gingival.
Gingival, yeah.
Yeah, it means gum. So, again, looks like I'm doing more proofreading here. Yes, I'm...
Is it gingival?
Yeah, I checked in the dictionary here right now, and I didn't find any word called gingival. But I found gingival, which means, you know, gingivitis, basically, the gums. In Arabic, it's called al-huruf al-lithawiyya. Again, they said lithawiyya, but I've checked in the Arabic books, Arabic dictionaries, it's saying lithawiyya. So maybe you want to put a correction there. Although in some books I found lithawiyya, but doing a little bit of research, I didn't come across that. Originate when the tip of the tongue touches the edge of the upper two front teeth. So these three, sa, zal, and ta. If you can repeat, sa, zal, ta, sa, zal, and ta. Originate when the tip of the tongue, when this is your tongue, this is the tip, touches the edge of the upper two front teeth, sanaya ulya. This is called sanaya ulya in Arabic. So when the tip of the tongue touches the tip of the front two teeth. Your front two teeth, you touch the tip, okay, and then these three letters originate from that place. It comes out, it exits from that place. So you touch your tip of your tongue with the tip of your front two teeth. Sa.
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 Yeah, pretty easy, isn't it? The Zal.
Zal.
And then you have Va. It's not Ta. It's Va. Again, a bit more proofreading here. You just want to put a dot on that thought. It's not. It's a thought. Also for the sisters upstairs, if you want to correct that, if not a thought, it's a thought. No, something. What's happening here? So, three letters. Sa, Zal, and Vo. Okay? Originally, when the tip of the tongue touches the edge of the upper two front teeth. So that's how you, that's where it's pronounced from. And these three are called Al-Huruf Al-Latawiyya, because although it's not pronounced from the gums itself, but they have to give it a name, and because the teeth is attached to the gum, they call it the gingival letters. Well, there you are. Al-Huruf Al-Latawiyya. So number 14. Al-Huruf Al-Asaliyya. Asal means the sharp tip of the tongue. Originate when the tip of the tongue rises towards the upper palate, touching the gums behind the upper two front teeth. Okay? Now, these three will rise, with the tip of the tongue, obviously, which you know, rises towards the upper palate. So as it rises, it will still touch the gums behind the upper two front teeth. So, that. But while it's touching, the bottom part of your tongue should be also touching between the teeth. So, the.
The.
Seen.
Seen.
It should also have that whistling sound. Seen.
Seen.
Fall.
Fall.
The.
The.
Seen.
Seen.
Fall.
Fall.
So these three are called Huruf Al-Asaliyya. The reason being is that the sharp tip of the tongue is being used in the pronunciation of these three letters. Okay? So this is number 14. Number 15 is Ba, Waw, Ghair, Madda, and Mim. Again, they've missed out the Waw. So if you want to write that down, jot that down. You've got Ba and Mim. Yeah. So if you put a Waw, Ghair, Madda. Now, what is a Waw, Ghair, Madda? I explained before, right at the beginning, the first letter, Al-Huruf Al-Hawa'iyya, the aerial letters. Now these three are all Huruf Al-Madda. If you can recollect. Al-Huruf Al-Madda. Now, with Waw and Ya, they come in two states. They appear in two states. Number, either in, they come in the state of Waw Madda, or they come in the state of Waw Ghair Madda. Waw Madda is Waw Sakin, which has a Dhamma before, which has a pair before it. So if I give you all the examples of all the Huruf Madda, these are all Huruf Madda. This Alif is Alif Madda because it has a Fatha before it. That is Waw Madda because the Waw Sakin has a Dhamma before it. And that is a Ya Madda because that Ya Sakin has a Kasra before it. Now when this Waw is in this state, this will be called Waw Madda. This will be called Waw Madda. So if somebody tells you what is Waw Madda, what do you say? Waw Sakin, which has a Dhamma before it. Remember, we know what Waw Sakin is, isn't it? We just did it, you got it in front of you. First, you could even know what is a Sakin, you know, a letter with a Sukun on it. So as you can see, this Waw has a Sukun. So this Waw will now be called Waw Sakin. Now what's preceding? Preceded by?
Dhamma.
Or if you want to say fish, say fish. If you're not familiar, but I'm just trying to get you ready for the Arabic class. So it's better to use that. Well, madda. What is it called? What is it? Speak up. Well, madda. What is it? It's like I'm talking in Chinese now. No one's answering me. What is it? Can you tell me? What is it? Wow, madda. You still not sure? Like, we're all with one voice. Wow, madda. It's like, am I going to say it wrong? Oh, no. Don't worry about it. If you say it wrong, nothing wrong. You're not going to get sacrificed or anything. Okay. This is wow, madda. If the wow is in any other state, it will be wow, غير مادة. Wow, غير مادة. So, if I was to write, what does the wow have?
Fata.
What does it have? Fata. Is it in a fucking state?
No.
No. So if it's not in a fucking state, then straight away you know it's not going to be a madda anyhow. Because if you wanted to find out if it was a wow madda, then it's fucking, and then before it, what is it? But if it's not even in a fucking state, then straight away you know it's not a madda. So this is called waw ghair madda.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be in fatah, it can be kasra, dhamma, anything.
You know, there was the dhamma on the one above, so if there was an appearance on there, if there was a fatha,
yeah, it'd be waw ghair madda.
Oh, well, it'd still be waw ghair madda.
Yeah.
So it needs to have a dhamma.
It needs to have a dhamma. Okay. Only if it's in that state, stipulated for that. To that state, then it will be waw madda. Okay, so ba, waw, ghair madda, and mim. These three originate from the lips. Originate from the lips. Ha. Ba originate from the dry portion of the lips. The lips got two portions. Meme, sorry, by from the wet portion. And the meme is from the dry portion. Meme.
And me.
And ba. So you got lips, your lips, the inner part of your lips is the wet part, the outer part is the dry part. So, meme.
Meme.
Okay, so which part of the lips join together? Meme. The dry part. And ba.
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 So which part? The wet part, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay? And wow, when the two lips do not join together. Wow.
Wow.
You know, we say vowel, vowel. I've seen a lot of people say vowel. You know, it's not vowel. It's wow.
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 So that is
wow.
I think wow. So these three originate from the lips, but I've explained what portion of the lips. Number 16 is the fa. Originate when the inner portion of the bottom lip meet the edge of the two upper front teeth. Originate within the inner portion, meaning the wet part of the lip, meet the edge of the two upper front teeth. So you see, fa,
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 fa. Yeah, pretty easy. So that's number 16. Number 17 is not in there, which we want to put it in, is the khayshum. Is the place khayshum is your inner part of the nose. Now, obviously, Brother Faisal has given you he's given you a photocopy of where they are pronounced from. If I have a copy, that is. all the letters, whether they pronounce them. No, there's another one. Yep, that's the one. I don't know where where's my one. Oh, is it? I want you to. Can I borrow your one? Is that all of them there? Is it all of them? Can you show me this part? The inner nose, the inner portion of the nose. And that's where the gunna comes out from. So, amman. Just close your nose and try to do it. Can you do it? No, you can't. So, sound is, where is it coming out from? From the nose. That is also the makhraj. That is also a place where the sound of nata comes out from. So, that is the 17th makhraj. 17th place where the Arabic. So, number 17 is khayshum, meaning where the bunna takes place. And that is the inner portion of the nose. So, there we are. This is the 17 letters we have done. Now, just before we start the next one, I want you to... Sorry?
Which one?
It's called khayshum.
No, but what is the actual letter?
No, it's khayshum. It's the nose itself. Hey, yeah. So if we all go over the Arabic letters, you just repeat after me. Okay? And then we can... Okay, so if I say it, you can speak after me. Abu. Abu. Abu.
Abu.
Abu.
Abu.
Ah.
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 Ah. Ah.
Az
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 Az Az When you pronounce the bar, you see that this part of your mouth will slightly raise, slightly inflate, because all the air pressure is getting building up because of the way your tongue is being, the position of the tongue, because it's touching the... If that's happening, that means you're pronouncing it, maybe not 100%, but near there. If it's nowhere there, that means your tongue is not even at the side. Remember, bod is when the side of the tongue is upturned and it's touching the premolars. Yes? You've got the premolars and the molars and... All those. Right at the back. Bored.
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 Ob.
Ob.
Oppo.
Oppo.
Oppo. Ob.
Ob.
Ah.
Ah.
Oh.
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 Oppo.
Oppo.
Act.
Act.
Ah.
Ah.
An.
Au.
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 Ah.
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 Ay.
Ay.
So we just went over the whole letters. Did we miss something up?
No,
but
that's the question. No.
Huh?
No. Didn't
we do an? We forgot the Huruf Muddad. But you can't do it with Alif. So what about Dalib? Ja.
Ja.
U.
U.
I.
I.
So So that extra sound, when it, if you take the alif off, it's ja.
Ja.
And you put the alif mad on, ja.
Ja.
So that extra sound, which is added onto the jim, is the alif mad. You take the waw off, ooh. You add the waw mad, ooh. The extra sound is the waw mad. Again, you take the ya off, ya sakin, e. Put the ya mad down, e. So that extra sound is the ya mad. So that is the huruf al hawaiya. And the waw and the ya we done is waw ya ghair mad. If you look at number 7, jim, ya ghair mad, and sheen. Yeah? So the one we did now, when we just doing the whole letters, there was waw ghair madda and ya ghair madda. Turn to page 4. Okay, we did the definition of tajweed. Reciting the Holy Quran with tajweed means to pronounce every letter with all its articulative qualities. Now, you have makhraj and you have sifat. Sifat in Arabic, in English means qualities. Uski sifat bahut achhi hai, you know, we say good as well. Meaning his qualities are very good. So, sifat means qualities. Now, if one wants to pronounce the Arabic letters properly, he or she will also have to master the qualities that are attached with every single letter. So, a letter will definitely have certain amount of qualities. Some will have more, some will have less. There are two types of qualities, two types of sifat. You got sifat-e lazima and sifat-e arida. Sifat-e lazima means those qualities which the letter cannot be pronounced properly without. Sifat-e lazima are those qualities which the letters cannot be pronounced without. So if the letters are to be pronounced correctly, then those qualities have to be observed when pronouncing those letters. Meaning, if those letters are not pronounced with those qualities, then those letters will not be pronounced properly. Hence, instead of ta, you may pronounce ta. The difference between ta and ta is the quality. If you go back to your chart, where all the makharij, you will see in number 12, ta, dal, and ta are all pronounced from the same place. So what is making ta different from ta? If it's being pronounced from the same place, where is it pronounced? Originally, when the tip of the tongue touches the gum of the upper two front teeth. So ta.
Ta.
Yeah? You go at.
Ta.
At. Ad. Where is it touching? The roots, isn't it? Ad. Appo. Again, the tongue is always touching that. So what is making it different? What is it that is making ta different from ta? Is the quality. The certain qualities that ta has and ta doesn't have. The certain qualities that ta has but ta doesn't have. And it's because of those qualities, it is differentiating, making the difference between ta and ta. So those qualities are called sifate lazima, meaning qualities which the letters cannot do without. Then you have sifate arida, those qualities which come about due to the situation those letters have fallen into. Sifat al-Arija is those qualities which the letters, or those qualities which are being pronounced or observed due to the situation that the letter is in. If the letter is in a certain situation, then these qualities would apply. If those letters are not in that situation, then those qualities would not be applied. Yes?
By situation, I presume, do you mean?
Proposition.
The grammar around.
Where it's based, that letter. In terms of grammar.
The written
what,
context.
Yeah.
Not something else.
No. The written context. In what place it is in the sentence, what is before it, what is after it, and it's based on that, different qualities would be applied, and that's the rule. So sometimes you will see that the raw is pronounced with a full mouth. Sometimes you will see that the raw is pronounced with empty mouth. So you see, Rabbana, and you see. Arinal, Rabbana, Ra is pronounced with full mouth because of the proposition that is in. And Arinal, Ari, the same Ra is not pronounced with a full mouth. It's pronounced with an empty mouth. So it's changing. So these qualities that are being applied is because of the situation that letter is being is in. Yeah? Are we here?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Do we understand what Sifat al-Lazima is?
Qualities that must be applied?
Yes. Qualities that each letter possess.
What
is that Sifat al-Lazima? You know Lazim? You bought Lazim here. What does that mean? It's a must. Huh? It's a must. You have to. So basically, it's an integral part of the letter's pronunciation, those qualities, integral part. Without that being observed, the letter cannot be pronounced. So if that letter wants to be pronounced correctly, then you will have to observe those qualities. Otherwise, that letter would not be pronounced. You may pronounce a similar letter, but it won't be that letter, because that letter has a certain quality, which is an integral part of that letter. And if that letter needs to pronounce correctly, then everything which is integral, everything which is part of it, constitutes to that letter, will have to be observed. Those are called Sifat al-Lazima. Okay? Sifat al-Arija are those qualities which are ad hoc, or haphazardly, or because of the situation they fall into. Yeah? Does that make sense? Means, okay, put it this way, temporary situations. Temporary qualities that are being temporary. They're not always there. It changes.
So
it's from red to green.
That apply,
huh?
Temporary qualities that are applied.
Apply, that's it. Temporary qualities.
Situation.
Okay, try to make it plain English. Now, Sifat al-Azima, there's 17, but I'm not going to go into them because this is the time that we have. We're basically doing elementary level at the moment. If we ever do more in deep, then we can go into that as well. But I'm just going to keep it to the basic, what we're doing here. There's 17. If we were to do 17, then we'd have to add another 6 more lessons. So that's not our intention at the moment. So all of these rules that you're going to now come across, apart from Qalqala, apart from the one that's coming up, they are all Sifat al-Arija. They are all? Meaning? Temporary. Temporary qualities. Okay? So this one, Qalqala, is not temporary. It is part of the pronunciation of those letters. Meaning, these letters, if they are to be pronounced properly, then Qalqala must be observed. So this is the only quality which is part of the bunch which is called Sifat al-Azima. Right? That's why I explained that. Qalqala. Technically, Linguistically it means movement. Qalqala means movement. Here in Tajweed terminology, it means when the letter of Qalqala has a sukoon on it, it will be read with an echoing or jerking sound. So in Tajweed terminology, Qalqala means this. So if someone said to Qalqala in Tajweed, then you know it means this. It means to make a jerking sound, to make an echoing sound on certain letters when it is Saqim, when it has a sukoon. When it has a sukoon. Now that sukoon can either be temporary or permanent. So that's why they've got two charts. You've got one chart, which they're going to show, is where it is not temporary, it's permanent. It is part of that word. And you've got the second chart, which is those where the sukoon is being applied due to the situation that letter has fallen into. Okay? I'm going to explain that. Okay. The letters of Qalqala are Qaf, Ta, Ba, Jim, Dal. Is that in order? Can anyone tell me it's in order or not?
No.
No. What out of these five, which comes first?
Ba.
What comes second?
Jim.
Third?
Dal.
Fourth? Ta. And? So why is it in this order? Anybody know?
Is it a word?
Yes, it's a word, and to make it easily memorized, are we still having? Yes, hold it. Well, I'm pulling a phone call. To make it easily memorized, the ulama and the scholars of Tajweed, what they would do is combine the letters and try to form words. So Qutb al-Jaddin. And Qutb al-Jaddin means good fortune foundation. The foundation of good fortune. That's just the name. Basically that's what it is. So when you make a word, and you can easily remember the word. If I was just to memorize your five letters. which one is it? Is it but if you like Qutb al-Jaddin, Qutb al-Jaddin is easily memorized. So that's why in Tajweed you'll see many places that will just Qussa, Dhabdin, Qib, and blah 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 blah, they'll come out with all these. That's why it's not in order. That's the reason why it's not in order. In the examples that follow, the Qalqala letter with a sukoon appears in the red block. Care should be taken when reciting not to jerk the letter to the extent where it will sound as if the letter has a fatah on it. So you shouldn't make the akum sound so. You shouldn't expose it so much that the echoing then become a fatah. The echoing, it's like, so for example, correct way is khalaq, khalaq. And if I say khalaq, khalaq, what have I done to the qaf? I've put a fatah on it, haven't I? Khalaq, khalaq. But if you expose it too much, then you've exceeded the limit. Hence, instead of as being a sukoon with a little bit of echoing, you've now changed the sukoon into fatah, which is a big mistake. Remember, we have two types of mistakes. One is lahn al-jali, one is lahn al-khafi. I don't know if I did that, I don't think I did that. First, there's two types of mistakes in the recitation of the Quran. One, you have the major mistakes, one, you have the minor mistakes. Okay? Major mistakes are the ones that you definitely get a sin. If you recite the Quran and make a mistake, then you are definitely getting a sin, and sometimes it can take you to the brink of kufr by such a mistake. Although you're doing it unknowingly because of the meaning changing, you know, drastically. And many times the salah can be negated. The salah can be negated because of changing the meaning due to the mistake that's been formed. So that is called lahn al-jali, right? That's big mistake. So if one is not trying to correct that, then his salah is a big chance that none of his salah has been accepted. So that is the lahn jali. Okay? If somebody jerks it so much that fatah is being formed, changing the sukun into fatah, then that will constitute to lahn jali. Hence, it was a major mistake which resulted in a sin, major sin. Okay, you cannot recite the Quran like that. You've got the minor sins where instead of gunna, you don't do gunna, blah, blah, blah. Okay? And you basically, you, these sifat arida, the ones, the temporary ones, you don't perform them well. The temporary ones. Are we clear with them? So the temporary ones, you don't perform them now and then, you miss them, then that is detestable, but it's not a major sin. But you shouldn't be, you shouldn't always make those mistakes. You know, not persevere, but what's the right word? But continuously making those mistakes. Now and then you make those mistakes, they're classified as minor. You know, Allah will forgive. But if you continuously keep making minor, then obviously Allah won't forgive.
So can I just ask, so by putting a fatah, you would extend the jerk, is that what we call it?
If you extend the jerk so much, then that the sukun then becomes a fatha.
Yeah.
Because like there's a qaf, halaqa,
yeah.
Can you see?
Yeah.
What's on top of it? It's a sukun, isn't it?
Yeah?
Yeah? But if I say halaqa, what have I done? The sukun is completely eradicated. If a person doesn't have that in front of him, what's he going to hear? I don't have this in front of me. To me, to the person who's listening, he will think that he's reading fatha on the qaf.
Yeah.
Understand?
So the correct way of pronouncing it would be
halaqa.
Halaqa.
Halaqa. See it? Halaqa. A little bit of jerking sound. Khalaqatani, repeat one.
Khalaqatani
min nari wa khalaqatahu khatifa al-khatfata فأتبعه شهاب ثاقب again ثاقب. Now that's the four. Do the bow one. فسجدوا إلا إبليس
فسجدوا
فسجدوا إلا إبليس
فسجدوا إلا إبليس.
But if I was to say something إبليس, I'll say إبليس. Big difference, isn't it?
Yeah,
إبليس. One is إبليس. And if I take that cancel out completely, إبليس. إبليس. That you completely omitted the qalqala. And Iblis. And what is Iblis. Jim.
فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فإنما هي زجرة واحدة زجرة
تحت
قلقلة عند الجيم زجرة
زجرة
جعل أدعياءكم
جعل أدعياءكم
Now, like I said, you got those huruf al-halqi
These letters of Qalqala are in the state of Sakin. Yes? But these are not temporary. These are permanent. The Sakin state will never change. And then you've got the letters of Qalqala where it's appearing at the end of a sentence. Although it is not in a state of Sakin, but because it's appearing at the end of a sentence, hence when you stop on it, it will change into a Sakin. It will change into a Sakin. So the Qaf, which has a Kasra, if you go to the other chapter here, this one, on page number 5, okay? So he says, when a stop is made at the end of the sentences below, the rule of Qalqala will apply. Why? The last letter becomes Sakin, irrespective of the vowel sign, thus resulting in the Qalqala letter being read with an echoing or jerking sound. Now due to the letter appearing at the end of the sentence, you have to apply the rule of what? You have to apply the rule of stopping. Now the rule of stopping is that the last letter's haraka, the last letter's fatha, kasra, or dhamma, whichever, will be changed into a sukoon. Will be changed into a sukoon. That is one of the rules of waqf. There are many rules of waqf, which we will do right at the end. Okay? So, now because the fatha, kasra, or dhamma is being changed into a sukoon, now these letters, meaning Qutubu Jaddin, Qaf, Ta, Ba, Jim, Dal, these 5 letters are now becoming Sakin. What are they becoming?
Sakin.
Okay, and we know what Sakin is, yeah? When it's becoming in the state of Sukun. In the state of Sukun. So if you look at the first one with the Qaf is وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَرَبُّ الْمَشَارِقُ. Then you can see the Qaf, what's underneath it? Can someone tell me? Kasra. Now this kasra will change into a sukoon. Will change into a
sukoon.
Why? Because we are stopping this. Because we are stopping this due to being the end of the sentence. So now that it is now sakin, we will then apply the rule of qalqala. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَرَبُّ الْمَشَارِقَ. Do it.
وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَرَبُّ الْمَشَارِقَ. إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَى قَوْمِ لُوطٍ. إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَى قَوْمِ لُوطٍ. فَأَتْبَعَهُ شِهَابٌ ثَاقِبٌ. فَأَتْبَعَهُ شِهَابٌ ثَاقِبٌ. ولا جدال في الحج. حج. Why? It's because the jim has a tasdeed. The jim has a tasdeed. And yeah, that's more for you. Now, what is tasdeed? What does tasdeed mean? It means a double. Double consonant. So you have to put emphasis to show that it's double there. If you say fil hajr, does that mean you're pronouncing only one jim? You've got to pronounce 2 jims. Okay? So that's why you put, when you stop on a letter which has a tasdeed, you have to put emphasis. Again, that's the rule of waqf, which we'll do at the end. But because it's coming across, so we'll do the correct way of pronouncing. وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ.
حج.
حج.
وحفظا من كل شيطان مارد. Don't worry about mistake, because if you don't try,
You're wrong with mistakes, you never will be able to correct yourself.
وَحِفْظًا مِّن كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ مَّارِدٍ
Okay, so these are the, this is how you pronounce, how you do the qalqala.
Now just ask, is this the safat al
These are all...
Is it the temporary...
Is it temporary? It is. This is in a temporary state.
So
this one is a temporary state, but the first one is not a temporary state. The first block. Okay. Let's go on to the next one now. Noon and Mim Mushaddada. It's the Mushaddada. Okay. When the letter Noon and Mim has a Shadda, meaning tasdeed on it, it will be recited with gunna. Gunna means to take the sound out from the nose. Take the sound out from the nose. That's called gunna. The nasalization should not exceed the duration of 2 haraka. Meaning 2-3 seconds. So, whenever you see a meme or noon with tashdeed, straight away you know that you have to do gunna. There's no ifs and buts or anything else, do I have to look at anything else before or after? No. You see the noon on mim with tasdeed, straight away you do gunna. Example.
Inna zayyanna as-samaa'a ad-dunya.
Inna zayyanna as-samaa'a ad-dunya.
Somebody have to gunna. In, at least 2 seconds.
Inna zayyanna as-samaa'a ad-dunya.
Inna zayyanna
as-samaa'a ad-dunya. Another example.
Inna jahannama kanat mirsada. إن جهنم كانت مرصادا ولا تكن في ضيق مما يمكرون ولا تكن في ضيق مما يمكرون
ولا تكن في ضيق مما يمكرون
I'm sensing that not everyone's participating.
ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا
ولقد خلقناكم ثم
ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا
ثم صورناكم ثم
Okay, so that's how you do the gunna in nun mushaddad and mim mushaddad. If you now turn to page 6. The rule of letter lam. Hope not going too fast. So okay, yeah? Because we've got to finish it somehow. The rule of letter lam. Have you got page 6, everybody? Yep, page number 6. Have we got page number 6 in front of us? Mm-hmm. Who's missing from last lesson? Are you here, is he? Let's ask for signal. Okay, so we've got page 6, yeah? Everybody. The rule of letter lam. When a letter with fatha or dhamma appears before the name of Allah, it will be pronounced with a broad sound or full mouth. Now this rule, let alone, is pertaining to the word Allah. The word Allah. Not just lam by itself, but lam which is part of the word Allah. Okay? This rule is regarding that. So, the word Allah, قَالَ اللَّهُ. This is the word Allah. Right? This is the lam, which has a tashdeed on it. Okay? This lam belongs to the word Allah. So it's that lam when it's part of the word Allah, not just the normal lam, as you will see at the bottom of the page. So if before this lam, there is a fatha, okay? Or dhamma, then this lam would be pronounced with a full mouth. With a full mouth. The terminology in tajweed is called tafkheem.
Tafkheem.
T-A-F-K-E-E-M. Tafkheem. Okay? Tafkheem means to pronounce with a full mouth. So if it has a fatha, like in this one, or if it has a dhamma, Rasulullah. Again, can you see the dhamma for the word Allah?
Yes?
Yes? So, again, this will be pronounced with a full mouth. You call it tafkheem. What do you call it?
Tafkheem.
Tafkheem. So if I was to use it again, I'll probably use tafkheem. Okay? So that's the word you need to use. Okay, if you look at the example, the second one.
إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم الله. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله.
Now the one they give example for Fatha, I deliberately omitted that one. The reason why is, if you look at the last word, what do they say? Allahumma. Allah? Allahumma in Arabic means Ya Allah. It means Ya Allah. So Allah is the word Allah. So although it's changed little, but same rule will apply. So the Ya has been exchanged for the meme at the end. So Allah Humma. Humma. Allahumma means? Oh Allah. Ya Allah. Yeah? So again, if anywhere in the Quran Allahumma comes, then again, the lam, if before that lam is a fatha or dhamma, you read it full mouth. If there's a kasra, again you read it with an empty mouth. Example is, Allahumma rabbana anzil alayna. And then you got one here. Qala Isa ibn Maryam Allahumma. Say this.
Qala Isa ibn Maryam Allahumma.
When a letter with a kasra appears before the name of Allah, it will be pronounced with a thin sound or an empty mouth. So you pronounce it the opposite of full mouth, which is empty mouth. That in Arabic you call tarqiq. You call that tarqiq. T-A-R-Q-E-E-Q. Tarqiq. Example at the bottom.
لرسول أن يأتي بآية إلا بإذن الله.
لرسول أن يأتي بآية إلا بإذن الله.
إلا بإذن الله.
إلا بإذن الله.
يوفق الله بينهما
يوفق الله بينهما
However, the lam musaddada is read with a thin sound or empty mouth. So any other lam, other than the lam which belongs to the word Allah, will always be recited with an empty mouth. So if that lam is not part of the word Allah, but is part of something else or whatever, it will be read with an empty mouth, like here.
Allah la ilaha illa hu.
The word illa hu.
Illa hu.
Can you see that Allah, that's lam got tasdeed, but that lam does not belong to the word Allah, hence it will be recited with an empty mouth.
Illa hu.
إِلَّهُ Okay, the second portion of the second verse.
أُولَٰئِكَ فِي الْأَذَلِّينَ
أُولَٰئِكَ فِي الْأَذَلِّينَ See the lam again. That lam will be recited with an empty mouth.
ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم
ولكل
وجهة هو موليها فاستبقوا وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا
Okay, so again, وَلِكُلْ The lam there is musaddad, but because that lam does not belong to the word Allah, hence recited with an empty mouth. Okay? I think we just leave it there and do some rules of meme sucking from next session, inshallah. If there's any questions that need to be asked, please do feel free to do so. Sisters upstairs, if you have any questions, please send it down. With one of my daughters, inshallah. They can bring the question down, inshallah.
Write
them down. Any question, brothers?
The difference between the empty mouth and the full mouth is basically opening the mouth wider.
The question is, the question is from the brother is that the difference between full mouth and empty mouth, is it just opening the mouth? Not, it's part, that's partial, but also it's making the tongue rise towards the palate so that the fullness of the sound comes. Allah. So the tongue, the back is rising towards the palate and giving that fullness in the sound while it's being pronounced, while it's coming out.
Allah.
I can say, well, I'm so used to it, it's hard to do any other thing. But I've seen children, they open the mouth, but it's not coming out, the sound is not coming out like that. The sound is not coming out like that. So it's not just opening the mouth, but also the tongue, the back portion, has to rise towards the palate to give this fullness. Allah. And let the tongue lay flat. Lillah. And you have to enter
the
Lillah. Is that clear? Any more questions, brothers?
Just a comment. I think this week, with following you, it's making it a lot more real, I think, in terms of what we've gone through over the last hour, inshallah.
We're trying to practice. Yeah. Obviously, it's just giving you a little understanding what it is. Really, it's not doing justice.
to the actual practice, we've got to practice it ourselves properly, and well, really and truly, you've got to practice with somebody who knows Tajweed to actually, you know, come to actually pronounce it properly. So you don't want to be practicing by yourself and then realize for 2 weeks it's all wrong. Yeah, and you're back to square one. And then what will happen is that your tongue is moving in such a way that you have to kind of delete that from your system and reboot it with something else. So then it becomes a chore and becomes... So you really want to get it right the first time. Okay? And especially at this kind of age, things don't come easy in terms of pronunciation and everything. Because during the young age, it's easier. You know? So that's why you've always got to go with somebody, you know, probably a sheikh who knows how to you know, pronounce the proper letters properly and practice with them. The whole purpose of this exercise is to realize, yes. What did the Qutb al-Jaddin mean in Arabic again? Qutb al-Jaddin means the foundation of good fortune. The foundation of good fortune. Also, please go a little slower and repeat the sounds a few more times. Jazakallah. Yes, inshallah. We'll have to do that for next time. Yes, inshallah that will be implemented. Do a bit more slower, inshallah. Yeah, I think, me and Chris, we did discuss that. As we, most of us, we normally tend to recite the last of the Quran in Salah. So you got Surah Fatiha, Surah An-Nas, Surah Al-Falaq. So what I thought was every lesson at the end will go over one surah together. So just to do a practice. And we'll go over Surah Fatiha every day, every single lesson, and add it another surah. So because Surah Fatiha is recited in every single rakah. So that is, you know, that is the most important one. So if you all repeat after me, I'll go I'll recite verse by verse, and then you can repeat after me.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
I request everybody try to look at my mouth, how I pronounce it. It does help.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الرحمن الرحيم.
الرحمن الرحيم.
مالك يوم الدين.
مالك يوم الدين.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم.
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس
قل أعوذ برب الناس
قل أعوذ برب الناس
قل أعوذ برب الناس
ملك الناس
ملك الناس
إله الناس
إله الناس
من شر الوسواس الخناس
من شر الوسواس الخناس
الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس
الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس
من الجنة والناس
من الجنة والناس
صدق الله العظيم
صدق الله العظيم.
So inshallah, every lesson after the right at the end, we'll do Surah Fatiha and we add another Surah to it. So inshallah, by the end of sixth lesson, we'll complete the last 10, because the majority of us tend to know the last 10 Surahs. So at least we get, you know, kind of some, we'll understand where we're going wrong in our recital. You get the flavor, and then obviously you know what you have to do, and correct it inshallah.